warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's 0-0 draw with Stenhouse Muir, more news on Aaron Smith's loan at Buckenhaven Hearts, and there's two games to preview this week as the Blue Team are in cup action against Aberdeen B and league business at Clyde. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. I'm very well, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. It was an interesting weekend, interesting game on Saturday, which obviously we'll come on to in a bit more detail, but I think it's an opportunity missed, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I was asked a question at work today, is it a point gained or two dropped? And I thought it was actually a good question because I think you can look at it as we do now and you think, well, it's possibly a point gained, but I think you've only got a really kind of true magnitude once you play Clyde on Saturday. If you lose the game, then you say, well, we've actually dropped 2 points against Stenny, we're now in a great position. But if you beat Clyde 7 out of 9, you'd say it's a good start. I appreciate Jordan's comments on Saturday as well, that it's two clean sheets back-to-back. First time we've done that since March, April 2022. You can build over a full season. So, yeah, I get the positives there. I just didn't think we did enough. Considering what we did at East Fife, I just didn't think we did enough going forward on Saturday. So, yeah, it was an interesting one. At a point gained, two dropped. I'm probably erring on the side of two dropped, if I'm being honest. I think our home games are going to be crucial. You see with the results on Saturday as well. A lot of draws again for the second week in a row. So your home form is going to be crucial. But, me personally, not sure about you, but I think at this moment in time, I'd be saying it's two dropped.
Well, I definitely think it's an opportunity missed, and I think over the piece, they'll maybe look back on it and think, yeah, we should have done a little bit better. But we'll come on to that in just in a little bit. So last week we mentioned the Peterhead Supporters Club's Meet the Managers Q&A taking place on the 28th of August, which is 2 weeks from tonight, which is Monday. Obviously we're recording on the Monday or whenever you listen to it, it'll still be the 28th. So it is available to any supporter that wants to come along, not just Peterhead Supporter Club members. So anybody who is willing to wanting to come down and speak to the two managers, asking a question, come along. 8 o'clock at Balmoor, and I think as we said last week, good opportunity. These guys are very open. They're very clear in what they want to do, and very inviting of these kind of events.
Yeah, it's you don't get cliched answer either. If they're able to answer it honestly, they will. I think it's been well received by the supporters club that Jordan and Ryan, they said in the tail end of last season that they'd be willing to do it once everything sort of settled down. So by the end of August, you'd think everything would be settled in terms of their squad and what they're hoping to do. I think it'll be a great night, as you said, open to everyone, so hopefully there'll be a good crowd there as well.
Yeah, and obviously you can become a member as well. £15 for adults, £10 for juniors, senior citizens and students. And there are a family memberships available as well, so you can get like two adults, two kids, etc, etc. And there are benefits as well, 10% off the club shop as well. And two supporters club members have opportunity to be home game corporate match day experience as well. So that's every home game as well. So well worthy of your £15 for the year.
You also get a discount on the travel as well, don't you? If you're a member of away games.
Supporters buses, yes, you do. Yes, that's right.
So
yeah, it's well worth for signing up for the season. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's all worth. Well, £15, absolutely nothing. For your yearly membership, and I'm sure members of the committee will be there at the Q&A to get anybody signed up who isn't already signed up.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't miss an opportunity. They'll be there with the clipboards and the pens.
they should be. If they are. Right, so let's get on to set of this game, a bit more details. As I said, 0-0 Stenhouse Muir on Saturday. As we said, I think it was probably an opportunity missed. I didn't think over the piece, though, either side really deserved the win. I think Peterhead obviously had their chances first half, Stenhouse Muir had the chances second half, and I think over the piece, I don't think really anybody deserved the 3 points, and I think Jordan maybe had said that in his post-match as well.
Yeah, I think both managers will be equally frustrated and have won the game, but I think either team, you know, created as many chances as they would have liked. Probably a draw was a fair result. I think there was only two or three shots on target for, you know, throughout the whole game. Gave him a few chances, but yeah, you were looking for someone just to take the bull by the horns, and it never really happened.
It was, you used the right word there, frustrating. I think it probably was a frustrating game. It was a frustrating performance. You know, we spoke about last week about how good the performance was doing at East Fife. It was free flowing stuff. It was one touch. It was keeping the ball moving. And for spells in the first half, yeah, there was that. But I think, you know, with the wind in the second half, we didn't really use that to our advantage at all. And I think, if anything, it was a little bit more laboured. It was maybe too many passes in the Stenny half. And we just didn't seem to be wanting to get that ball forward quickly enough.
Yeah, agreed. I think at times, under Ryan and Jordan now, you can see exactly what they're trying to do. You try and keep the ball, you try and move it as quick as possible and get into spaces. But sometimes I think we just maybe take a touch too much, whether we play that extra pass or extra two pass. And I think that was evident in the second half. Good ball retention, but we didn't really try and do much with it. I don't think Kieran, a lot of running, but he didn't really have any chances, to be fair to him, to go off of. And, you know, going off the back of the East Fife performance, it was, I think you mentioned it there, slightly laboured in the second half. And again, you were just looking for somebody to take the bull by the horns. It never really happened. And I think that's why both managers will be slightly frustrated.
I think the best example I can think of off the top of my head was, I think, Caleb Goldie had switched to right back in midway through sort of the second half. And he'd gotten the ball off of Robert Ward, but rather than sort of taking it on and trying to get to the byline and get a cross in, he held on to it, and then suddenly there was two defenders on him. Robert Ward was standing like 5-10 yards away from him in space, and he held on to it and tried to create something out of nothing, and then before you know it, there was a third defender across, and then the whole attack sort of then just petered out. And it was all things like that as well. It was just like we did seem to be wanting to hold on to the ball for too long, just looking for that extra pass, that extra touch. Whereas, you know, on the previous week, as we said, it was much more about getting the ball down and getting forward, getting by people as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it last week, we're very direct to our performance. I think on Saturday, we maybe did take that touch one too many. But credit to Stenhouse Muir, I thought they came up, you could clearly see their game plan early on. They were going to try and hit us on the break, hit us on the counter, which we sort of touched on last week. We think a lot of teams might do that when they come up to Balmoor this season.
I think you probably could be right in terms of, you know, teams coming up. I think we need to be a bit more smarter and a bit more aware that, you know, we might be, in some people's eyes, the favourites to win more games this season than we were last season. So, as you said, teams coming up to Balmoor a little bit more conservative, a little bit more, you know, bodies behind the ball. And that comes down to, you know, the players in the park. Can they change the game? Can they change how things are going? And even maybe on the bench, I know we were quite limited with the players on the bench on Saturday because of injuries and things like that. But over the course of the season, what you want to see is, you know, how are we going to change things? How are we going to affect the game?
Yeah, I think we've certainly got the quality in the squad and the personnel to be able to adapt. As you said, guys like Danny Strachan was out on Saturday, David Wilson. So your back line was affected. I think that was quite evident with Caleb Goldie going to left back, slightly different role than what he did the week before at right back in terms of getting forward. So it, like I said, it's a case of overcoming and adapting how we're going to do it. But I certainly think there's players in the squad that are capable of it.
Yeah, if you look at the first half, Stenny had no real efforts on goal. I think there was the one audacious one from just inside the Peterhead half. And to be fair, I call it audacious, but you know what? With the wind behind you, the keeper a good bit off his line, it's worth a dig.
Oh, yeah, if it goes in, you look a genius. But as you said, it's audacious, but you can see why he's done it.
Yeah.
As you rightly said, the wind behind you, either it takes to get it on target, blessings off his line by a good bit. He's a tall lad, but he maybe it's a learning curve for Blessing as well. You know, he wouldn't have played many games with the wind the way it is at Balmour. But yeah, rightly, they've hit a dig and, you know, just a couple of yards either side and, you know, it goes in the back of the net.
And we did have numerous chances, I think three chances within a space of 10 seconds at one point. Conor O'Keefe running through off of a Steny corner, it was on the counter attack. Virtually in the same position as he was when he scored down at East Fife. And you think, well, this is going to be 1-0. I think the only difference between this one and the one at East Fife, the keeper come racing out. It almost made the decision pretty easy for O'Keefe to slide it under him. Whereas this time, Jamieson, he almost sort of stayed on his line. And I think O'Keefe's waiting for him to come forward, and he doesn't. And therefore, he maybe just delays it slightly. It's a good save in the end. Shanks then has an opportunity. It's cleared off the line. He beats the goalkeeper. And then I think Jack Brown has a header off of that one as well. And it goes wide. So, you know, chances were there. And it's what I said earlier on. It was against the wind as well.
I think the O'Keefe one, I think you're bang on. He waits for the keeper. Whereas last week, the keeper made the decision for him. I think that's maybe where... You're looking for Conor just to be a wee bit more smarter. You know, you're the one on the ascendancy. You're attacking. You know, pick your spot and, you know, and try and aim for it. And then Kieran was close, and then Jack with the header as well. So it's not a case where we didn't have chances, but I think last week's chances were a lot more cleaner than we got on Saturday. I think they were like a little bit bitty. You had to take them trying quick. But yeah, no, I thought in that passage of play, you're probably looking to go 1-0 up.
And I think with the one at East Fife, Shanks was there as an option to roll it to. Whether or not Shanks was there again on Saturday, that he could have maybe used him as an option, you know, to roll it in. But, you know, given that he scored two cracking goals last week, you know, you want him to be sort of going one-on-one. And you can see his pace as well. He left the defenders for dust.
I don't blame him for, you know, for taking the effort on. He's got two goals last week. His confidence is high. I think any striker would be wanting to take it on from that position. You're just hoping he maybe takes it a second quicker and he picks his spot and puts it away. But, you know, this is the way the team all learn. We did it fine at East Fife. He didn't manage it there. So you're hoping that if you go into the Clyde game and he starts, you know, and he's presented with that opportunity that he's cast his mind back to East Fife rather than Steny. But, you know, this is all a learning curve for the players as well.
Wardy had a good effort as well. Great piece of a skill, something that I think we're going to see quite a bit of. You know, him, you know, getting into the box, taking on defenders. You know, quick feet onto the left, and then back onto the right, and then before you know it, the shot's away, and it somehow it drifts away from the goal rather than towards the far post. And again, just so fine from being, you know, getting his first goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Ward this season, we're going to see a player that's allowed to express himself with his game. I think with his low centre of gravity, I think defenders aren't going to like playing against him. I think if he gets up against you one-on-one, you'd fancy his chances. We mentioned last week that he nearly got in behind twice. It was never good defending. And I'm pleased that he's got that almost like freedom that he doesn't have to worry about, you know, where to play the pass. He can take the run on. And as you said, his effort was close on Saturday. He just didn't get over and round the ball enough. And as you said, it drifted wide. But you're pleased that he's in that situation to make them efforts happen.
And Hamish Ritchie then had a free kick as well, which was hit the outside of the post. Great free kick from him, and again just sort of sums up that the game. I think, you know, we have one off the line, we've hit the post, keeper's made a save, Wardy's had one just drift the wrong side of the post. You know, maybe on another day one of those goes in.
Yeah, I thought Hamish's free kick was really good. Apart from hitting the post, he's done everything right. I think if it didn't hit the post, it was slightly inside. I don't think the keeper's getting near it either. I think he's well beaten. I thought his starting position was too far over to his one side. Yeah, you were just needing that break to go in, especially with the wind as well. You were hoping for that break, but alas, it was not to come.
Which makes you wonder, we said it during the game, Hamish Richards got a free kick, virtually the same position in the second half, and he chose to cross it rather than, you know, taking the shot on again, you know, with the wind behind him. You would have thought, well, there's a better opportunity for him to get it on target and beat the keeper, but for some reason he chose to cross it, and obviously it came to nothing. And that's what we were talking about earlier on, is decision making in those kind of areas in a tight game like that.
I thought it was strange on Saturday, we mentioned to each other. I still think it's strange. Now, the only thing I can think of is with the way the wind is at Ballinmore, and when you're on, you know, pitch level, you have seen free kicks and corners just going absolutely well over the bar, wide of the post. I don't know whether that's in the back of his mind. He's been here a long time now in his third season. So you can be forgiven for thinking, well, he maybe thinks he's going to hit a shot, the wind's going to catch it and it's going to go high and wide. He's maybe tried something different, tried to be clever. I think everybody would have thought he was going to take a shot, and obviously he crossed it, but the cross wasn't good either. So that's the only thing I can think of in the back of his mind, is he's maybe seen it numerous times before.
It's maybe the old double bluff going wrong kind of thing. Everybody's expecting him to take the shot, so he thinks, oh, well, I'm just going to cross it in the end, it didn't mean anything. We've got to mention Blessing had a couple of really good saves second half. It was his league debut, and he capped it with a clean sheet. Really good saves. As we said earlier, he wasn't really called upon much at all during the game, but when he was there and he pulled off a couple of good saves.
Yeah, he did that against Spartans in the cup competition as well. I know he conceded two on the night, but he made a couple of good saves as well. And he did that again on Saturday, as you said, his competitive debut. He's only 18. I think he's done too much wrong, to be honest. Again, he conceded two against Spartans, but I thought the performance in the two games overall, I certainly wouldn't be... You know, when we signed him with Stuart McKenzie, I thought, like, we've got more experience and we're back up. You know, if Blessing was to play a period, a game, so it was three or four games, what I've seen so far, I wouldn't be adverse to that. I think he's going to mature well as the season goes on.
And I think as well, what you'll probably find is he'll get used to the playing conditions at Bomber, as you said earlier on. It's probably an eye-opener for him. I think there was one occasion, and we really didn't account for what the rule was, but he got a back pass. He kicked it straight up in the air and it caught in the wind, and then he just caught it himself. And we were going, oh, is that even allowed? Should we be doing that? But there was a few occasions as well when he's trying to kick it as you would normally see a modern goalkeeper, you know, with the side volley kind of thing, and it wasn't going very far at all first half. But the more times he plays in these kind of conditions, he will get used to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting there a couple of games, he'll realise about the wind. I'm still convinced it's a pass back, because no other player, we mentioned it on Saturday, no other player touches it, so surely it must be deemed a back pass. I don't know the rules on it. I can, if you knee it or you chest or anything other than your foot and your shin, it's not a pass back, but nobody else has touched it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the referee's overlooked it or not, or these linesmen, but I'm still convinced. But yeah, in terms of the wind, he will, you know, get used to it. He'll adapt to it. As you said, some the new modern way that goalkeepers kick, I'm sure we'll give it another couple of weeks and he'll be rolling it out to the defenders.
I wouldn't even be asking the referee either what the rule was, because I don't think he would probably ken either.
Yeah, I'd sort of sums up Scottish football referee, doesn't it? Yeah, they wouldn't get it right, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't.
What Blessing's performance has done, I think, as well, is maybe just given the manager just that little bit of, you know, well, you kind of think maybe McKenzie's not just set in stone as the number one. McKenzie missed the game of Saturday. Blessing's played well, got a clean sheet, you know. We've got Aberdeen B on Tuesday, which will obviously come on to. Is he worthy of another start there? Is he worthy of another start even at the league game away from home at Clyde? These are the kind of questions that, as managers, they're going to be difficult decisions. You know, do you drop him again even after one game? But as we mentioned in previous weeks about the depth of the squad, those are the difficult decisions that they're going to have to come up with.
I think what we've got now is two very good goalkeepers at different stages of their career. Yeah. Before we've maybe had you know, I think Stuart, when he came in January, he was the number one regardless of how good or how bad he was playing. I think we've now got a keeper where if he's maybe not quite on it as he should be, there is a suitable replacement on the bench, which we've been thankful for because we didn't hear that last season. And so, yeah, I think it gives Ryan and Jordan certainly that question, as you said, for the games that are coming up. Do you rush Stuart back for a game that he maybe doesn't need to be in when you've got Blessing playing, you know, pretty well? You know, these are questions that the duo will need to answer.
And as we said earlier on as well, Stenny, we're probably the better side, creating the better opportunities. Again, it's weird because they had the win against them and they seemed to play better against it. Anderson then got sent off, two yellows. I think there's no argument with these yellows at all. First one for a pretty cynical professional foul, I believe the phrase would be. Second one, late challenge over on the far side or near side, the dugout side. And I sent you during, or just before he got sent off, or just after he got sent off, that I surprised they didn't take him off because the referee threatened to issue him with a second because he was still, you know, there was foul after foul in him. So it was a combination of, you know, him making so many tackles and not being aware that he's on a yellow, and Stenny not bringing him off and being aware that, you know, this could be an issue.
I thought it was very naive of the player, if I'm being honest. He knew by the way the referee was performing throughout the game, he was, you know, he was pulling up every little thing that he could. Certainly didn't think he allowed it to free flow like we were hoping, which is not a great surprise. But I think when you're on a bookend and you know how the referee's officiating the game, you've got to maybe adapt to your style as well. And I think when he put in the second challenge, given the fact that the referee told him numerous times, or that he made numerous fouls, effectively you could have got two bookings in that instance, one for the challenge and one for persistence. So no surprise that you've got the red card. Maybe he could have been taken off if you're looking at it from a Stenny point of view, you know, before that happened. But I think as a player, if you know the way the referee's officiating the game, you've got to adapt better as well.
Yeah, if you're looking at the referee, and as we tend to do before the game on the Saturday, and you look at his last League Two game of last season, you know, he had 10 yellow cards in that one game alone. So, you know, he does like a yellow here. I think he's averaging about 5 in a game. He will dish him out, regardless if they're deemed appropriate or not. So yeah, you maybe need to just kind of adapt your game slightly. We did have one opportunity of note. Second half, McCarthy's effort, edge of the box. It's one of those. He's looking for a bit of cut on it. It doesn't curl down and it goes well wide, and that was really the only effort we had. And as we go back to what we were saying, very much a frustrating second half for us. You know, we've got the wind behind us. They play the last, 10 minutes, 15 minutes with 10 men, and we haven't been able to take advantage of that at all. And for me, I know he was missing. I think it was a game it was calling out for Aaron Reid to come on, you know, big guy, you know, pat himself a boot, also got the pace as well. But then again, we weren't putting the crosses in either, so, you know, it's kind of weird. But maybe we would have got the crosses in had he been there.
Yeah, potentially. As you said, the lack of quality chances. We were bemoaning, also with the two within 5 seconds in the first half, but nothing really a note in the second, really, of note to write home about. Yeah, like you said, Aaron Reid, if he was available, could have been a good option to come off the bench with his height, but he's also got that pace as well. We've seen that in abundance at East Fife the week before. So again, there is maybe that question of, is that an area that Ryan and Jordan might look to, you know, dip into the transfer market in? There's still a couple of weeks to go. Do you look to try and bring in that other striker that could play in a role to help out there? I don't know, I think Jordan completely ruled it out on Saturday when he was asked the question if they're looking to bring in somebody else. They said if the right person came along, then they would, you know, they would look into it. So yeah, there's maybe something in the works there.
As I said, we were sort of short on the bench. We had only had five on the bench, one of which was Jordan himself. The other one was one of those was Barry Thompson, the goalkeeper coach. So we did have six players missing: Mackenzie Wood, Danny Strachan, Gibbons, Costello, O'Connor Duffy, obviously as well, and Aaron Reid. So really, you know, we look at the and Goldie and Wilson were doubts before the game as well, though Goldie kind of played he played the full game in the end. But it was a game where we were screaming for changes to be made. But obviously we couldn't do that because of the amount of injuries and the players that we had out. Whereas, you know, if we had, you know, Duffy available, if we had Danny Strachan available, you know, you could make these changes. Or even maybe just a tactical tweak as well maybe could have affected the game.
Yeah, sorry if I've pinched your notes. I was going to say, I hope everything goes well with Conor Duffy. He does MRI scan at the time of recording. He had it today, so hopefully everything's gone well there, and we'll hear more over the next coming days. I think it was unfortunate the injuries have seemed to come at once. You know, Reid, Mackenzie, Strachan, Wilson, players that, you know, are in and around the first team. I think last season you got a couple of injuries and, you know, you are really, really light in numbers. But I would say I think the squad still looked really good on Saturday. You didn't really look at the squad and go, oof, the players that have come in were weakened. I think everybody's agreed, you know, supporters alike, that the squad's a lot healthier now than what it has been possibly the last two, three, four seasons even. There's a lot of depth. So hopefully once you get these players back, you know, maybe in a month's time we're all up and running, they're fit, they're ready to go, then, you know, I think we'll be fine.
I'm going to mention Andy McCarthy again. I think, you know, in a game where I don't think there was any real sort of standouts in terms of, you know, like somebody who was maybe like a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. I think a lot of players were sixes and sevens at best. I don't know if it was purely coincidental that, you know, and we were pretty poor second half. I felt Andy McCarthy had a poor game and, you know, in terms of his you know, ability to pass the ball. I think sometimes he held on to it a wee bit longer than he needed to. Don't get me wrong, he was good at his usual McCarthy kind of styles, you know, breaking up the play, tackling, those kind of things. But when you're looking for, you know, a bit of creativity in the midfield, I think he was just lacking a little bit. So then I kind of, his performance mirrored the team overall, or the team overall mirrored his performance?
Yeah, I think you're bang on. I think it's a brilliant point to bring up. I think the way we play, a lot of it goes through the midfield, and naturally it will sort of flow into Andy McCarthy. And I think when he plays at a quick tempo, we will play well. But I think if you hold on the ball, I wouldn't say too long, because it's very not often that he gets caught in possession, but just that touch once too many, or doesn't Andy's very good at knowing where he's going to play the pass before he's got the ball, which I think is a sign of a really good player. But on Saturday, it just didn't quite work for him. Whether that was a wind as well, obviously at pitch level, it's probably a lot worse than for it is, you know, if you're walking around or in the stands. But yeah, it's probably a good assessment to say that it probably mirrored the team's performance.
Yeah, it's maybe just one of those games where, you know, it just didn't work for everybody, and it maybe is one of those that we hopefully we'd see again. One more thing of note from Saturday's game was the sending off of Jordan Brown very, very late on in the game. And I say very late, you know, you're talking, what, a minute, 2 minutes before the end. Baffling for us at the time. To see him getting sent off, because it wasn't even though we've seen previously where managers will say something within the vicinity of the linesman. And next thing you know, the referee's coming across. He has a word with the linesman. You know he's going to be speaking to, you know, either the manager, the coach, whoever it is. And you think, well, this is something he said. There wasn't even any of that. It was just a case where he ran across and give Jordan the right card, and he was quite bemused about it. So was everybody in the stadium at the time, but we believe it's for something that he'd said, which obviously was what we imagined it was. Just a strange timing of it to be as well. And if it is something that he said, and this seemingly is a rule in place now for inappropriate behaviour or misconduct or whatever it is, chances are you're going to have a manager sent off in most games if that's the way they're going to rule it.
Yeah, it's an interesting example. Jamie got booked earlier on in the game as well.
He did, yeah.
I can't remember if it's a new rule or something that are just more strict on now, but if you get one booking in your coaching team, then it's the manager that takes the flak for the next one, regardless of whether he's involved or not. Mm. Now, I can't say if it's happened in this instance, but as you said, if it's something they're going to clamp down on a season, then fair dues. I'm sure coaches, managers, whatever, they'll adapt as the season goes on. But, you know, it's 90 plus 5. I mean, the referee was pretty clear that he wanted Jordan to go down the dugout, and then he blows his final whistle 20 seconds later. Doesn't really make a big difference, but it's just the little pernickety things. And I thought, just the way he officiated the game, I'll go back to what I said about the red card as well to Sten Hoshier player. When you see the way the referee is going with the game, sometimes, and I get emotions come out, we're all the same, you know, if supporters as well. It's just trying to be more clever with maybe the choice of words. If it, I mean, I'll say it's allegedly because you know he said something wrong. It could be just the way whatever the linesman's heard, or whether it's a referee that's allegedly heard something that's been said. You don't know, but disappointing because I think we'll lose Jordan. Could it be potentially a 3-game ban? For a straight red card, I'm not quite sure how it works these days. But, yeah, there's a point in, but, yeah, completely can share Jordan's frustrations throughout the 90 minutes.
A 3-game ban could be a bit harsh, but it certainly, if it is at all going to stand, you look as though he might miss one, maybe two games, I would think at the most.
The only reason I think it might be three is because it's foul. If it goes down as a red card, something you've said, would it not go down as foul and abusive language towards a match official?
Well, it could be.
Depending on how strict they are these days, it might be three. I'm hoping it's one, but yeah. Hey, you never know these days.
But it goes back to what we were saying as well about the referee. We had concerns about the referee appointment, you know, given his lack of experience at this level, and I get referees need. Need to get experience at levels and things like that. But not only was he inexperienced, but his two assistant referees were relatively inexperienced as well. And I think at times that showed as well. And I always think as well, it's maybe a case that a referee wants to stamp his authority too much, you know, when he's got lack of experience, whereas, you know, just maybe talk your way through the game and that experience will come. It's almost as if he needs to show his authority.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the modern way referees go, that they want to, I wouldn't say they want to be in the limelight, but they want to stamp their authority in the game. And, you know, a sign of a good referee, a few years ago, a sign of a good referee is one that you didn't cane off. And that's a fair assessment. I think now we're pretty familiar with the referees at this level, and you go, oh yeah, I remember that referee for that decision, for that challenge. And again, they want to get everything right. I don't think it was the worst refereeing performance we've seen at Balmour, to be fair, far from it. But I just think if you let the game flow, I think if you spoke to players more, get an understanding there, I think some referees these days are, they want to speak to players, but use the experience of the players in the pitch to try and help you through the game as well. Can certainly be an added bonus. But yeah, I think in games like that, if you've got an inexperienced referee, you're hoping to have experienced officials on the touch lines. And as you said, it was all three on Saturday that wasn't quite experienced.
And Jordan said enough comes down to that as well. It's really late in the game. Why didn't he just go across to him and say, look, I heard what you said. Do that again. It will be a red. But because it's so late in the game, we'll put a line under it and forget about it kind of thing. You know, had it been, you know, with an hour to go or half an hour to go or something like that, maybe slightly different. But obviously, we don't know exactly if it was said, but I would imagine it wouldn't have been that bad. I know Jordan's not the kind of lad to be cursing and swearing through a game. Unlike other players, you hear, you know, constantly yapping and things like that. But I would imagine if you're a referee, you would want to just go, right, well, let's just put a line under that and then we'll forget about it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually. The timing of it as well, because what is deemed a yellow card in the first 10 minutes of a game is now the same in the last 10 minutes. You've seen it so often. How many times has a football commentator say he's got away with that because it's early? Again, 90 plus 5, do you turn around the manager and just say, look, I heard what you said, reel it in a wee bit, because next time you could be in trouble by a match official. And I think if you've got that understanding with a referee and a manager, that can help your performance as well if you've got that understanding between each other. But frustrating that we've lost Jordan for however long it'll be, whether it's 1, 2, or 3. But I'm sure, you know, Jordan will admit it's a learning experience for him as well. Somebody at work today said to me, Jordan only got sent off because he's struggling with the pressure. Well, we're 2 games into the season. We're throwing about the pressure word. Far from it. I think it's just the emotions of the day. Like anybody desperate to get the 3 points. And like you said, I don't even think it was that bad what he said either. But, you know, the match official deemed it to be.
So, in the end, it was a clean sheet. A second clean sheet in a row. We could look at it in a positive way as well. We're unbeaten in 2. 4 points out of the opening 6, which, you know, you look at it, and I think we spoke about it at the start as well. In a funny way, we probably would have taken 4 points out of 6, but I think it would have been a draw at East Fife and a win at home. Because we'd won the first game, expectations a little bit higher, but we've got to look at it in that kind of sense. It's another clean sheet, and we're unbeaten in 2.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Jordan's post-match was good when he pretty much said that, you know, it's 2 clean sheets back-to-back, it's 4 points out of 6, and given how tight this division is, it is probably a good return. You're just frustrated you won your home game. Had it been the other way around, you'd have probably taken it. I certainly think it's something to build on. We've got to remember that, you know, clean sheets back-to-back, we hadn't done it for the best part of 16 months, you know, a whole season without doing it. So that'll be a massive boost as well. Davy Wilson they playing, Caleb going to left back, Danny Strachan they playing. So there's a lot of positives to take from it. Just need to be more clinical up top.
And we've only got 3 clean sheets in the entirety of last season. So we're almost, you know, equal to that if there's 2 games. So, you know, you take that into account. Being optimistic, last time we got 3 clean sheets in a row was back in February 19. You know, if we get another clean sheet in the next game, you know, suddenly it's much more positive as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, you're going back for a year for 3 clean sheets in a row. It just shows you the predicament that we've been in over the last 2 years especially. And that's why I think 2 clean sheets back-to-back, you know, it's massive for, you know, it's a clean sheet for Stuart McKenzie and it's a clean sheet for Blessing as well. So, you know, they've got their confidence as well. We're both having a clean sheet each. So, yeah, there's certainly things to build on, absolutely.
Okay, quickly go through some of your comments from Saturday's game. Barry Evans said, any game against Steny where we don't lose always feels like a result. And traditionally, obviously, as we mentioned in the preview last week, Jim McAnally did seem to struggle against Steny, traditionally a bogey team for him. So yeah, a positive result is a point, I guess. Lindsay Finlay says, positive play today, but still puddling about at the back and not pushing forward. Puddling is her word, not mine. With the wind behind, with the wind behind us in the second half, we should have taken every shot we could have. We deserve to win that today. And you know, as we said, we spoke about their audacious effort. First half, we never even had a shot on goal. Second half, to apart from McCarthy's one, really. So she's kind of writing what she's saying there. You know, why weren't they taking pot shots?
Yeah, probably overthought it, overplayed. You know, it goes back to taking that touch too many. Maybe overthought it with the wind. Slightly digressing, but you remember a couple of years ago, I think it was 0-0 at home to Dumbarton or East Fife. It was 0-0 at half time. We had the wind in the second half. Ryan Conroy was taking a shot. Everybody was taking a shot. I think we won the game 5-0 in the second half. Yeah. That's okay. The wind factor wasn't as bad as what it was on Saturday. But again, I go back to my favourite cliche, if you didn't buy a lottery ticket, you win a win. Again, take a pot shot for here and there, and you've got a chance of going in. And that's maybe something that we'll see where the course of the season happening more.
Do you buy many lottery tickets yourself, just out of a matter of interest?
Ironically, I don't play the lottery, no. Sorry, if I don't buy a ticket, I can't win.
Yeah, exactly, that's why you're still doing the podcast, yeah, right enough. David Coote says, too much passing from side to side, not enough shots. Robert Patterson, They played well first half and should have been at least three up at half time. Second half, they appeared to have subdued and never looked like scoring. Wayne Simpson, good first half display and should have been leading at half time. Second half, held on to the ball too much, never troubled the goalkeeper. Two clean sheets in a row though and still top of the table, so can't really complain too much. But should have won the game. And kind of echoing what we're saying, you know, the comments are pretty much the same. It's the case. So yeah, we played well first half, second half we were poorer.
Yeah, there's generally a pattern there with the comments, and it's a very valid comments. And I'm sure it's something that, you know, Ryan and Jordan, the boys, will be looking at in training. Slightly different week, given the game on Tuesday night and a game again on Saturday. But I'm sure it's something that they'll be working on and trying to figure out for the next game.
Peter Bruce, disappointed with only 1 point today, as they never troubled our goalkeeper the whole game. We couldn't get control of the ball in the second half. Played much better in the first when we created a few good chances. Think we would have settled for 4 points out of six before the first game. And again, I think that's what we were saying earlier on. George Buchan, very good first half, but failed to finish their efforts on goal. Very frustrating second half, and never took advantage of the wind. Need more bite in the attacking form, and that will, I think that, as I said before, all that will come as the season goes on. We're in a totally different position this season, whereas last season we were expected to lose, you know, virtually every game because the form was so bad. The players we had, let's face it, were bad. We weren't good enough. Whereas this season, there is a little bit more expectation on us. We're expected to be a little bit better. And as we've said a couple of times already in this episode, you know, teams will dig in a little bit more. They will, you know, defend a lot better, a lot deeper than what we're used to.
Yeah, I think teams are going to open up against us. I think they're going to realise that we are a good side. No more day, we can beat anybody. And then we're going to have to find a way to adapt to that. You've got I get some folks' argument, but there was a lot of the team here last season. Yeah, maybe so, but hardly won a game last season. We won three games the whole season. And as a player, if you get stuck in that rut of losing games, then you're not going to make that pass that you maybe want to. You're going to be a bit more reserved. And it's going to take time for the players just to come out of their shell a wee bit. Obviously, it's games that you're hopeful of winning. But again, it's about not putting too much pressure on them. You've got to allow them to play their football. We're only two games in. We're sitting top of the table, two clean sheets. It's a very positive start.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. Is the longer a game like that goes on at 0-0, given the history of last season, the players then become a little bit more anxious. They didn't want to make the mistake. They didn't want to be the one that potentially loses a point. And you know, as I said, the decision making becomes slightly different, as opposed to, you know, had that corner Keith effort had gone in earlier on, or the Shanks one had been cleared off the line, or Wardy's one goes in, the game changes completely.
Yeah, the psychological factor as well. You don't want to be that player that makes a mistake. We've said a few times now, this is going to be a very difficult division. It's very competitive. You've seen by the results again on Saturday, a lot of draws. And, you know, at the end of the season, that point at home to Steny in the second day of the season could be a very valuable point. But they're only going to be good points if you're able to back it up with a win, you know, in your following game, and, you know, make up for the points that you've potentially dropped the week before. But, yeah, like I said, it's a decent start, top of the table, two clean sheets, looking very solid at the back. And if you can, you know, get that spark up top, I think we'll be fine.
Moving on to a bit of loan watch, we posted there how Aaron Smith's getting on at the moment at Buckenhaven Hearts, and he's doing really well. It seems getting a lot of feedback from the guys at the Hearties, and they're really impressed with his attitude, his football ability as well, even for somebody who's so young. Completed three games already at the Hearties. 35 minutes his first game, 35 in his next, and then on Saturday got a full 90 minutes under his belt. They're due to play again on Tuesday night and then again on Saturday, so he's going to get plenty game time, it appear, in such a short space of time. But already The signs are good for him for the future as well.
Yeah, really exciting times for him. I think the loan deal is working out exactly as Peter Head would have hoped. He's getting the game time. He's doing really well. And to complete his first 90 minutes at the weekend as well, I think he's brilliant. A really good finish in the game as well. So, yeah, all positive signs. He seems to be fitting in well. Got to remember, he's only 16 as well. So, you know, really young age. You know, and he'll grow over the coming months. And, you know, hopefully it's something that will continue into next year. But I certainly think his development at Heritage, you know, will benefit him a huge deal.
And Kevin Park, who's one of the coaches at Hertha, has said as well that he's, you know, given a year or two of, you know, men's football, you know, and him developing, you know, physically, he will go on and do really well. And these are the guys that see him more often than what we do. So, as we said before, you know, it's looking good for him. It's looking good for Peter Head for the future as well. So long may this positive development continue.
Absolutely, I think the key one you mentioned just a minute ago there is his attitude as well. Been quite easy sign for Peter Head, and then go out and loan and just, let me say, you know, throw your poise at the pram, but maybe just maybe quite at it. But obviously he's relishing this opportunity as well. He sees how good it can be for his development. He seems to have come into Heritage, he's done really well. Yeah, delighted that his attitude's in the right place, and I think his performances and his development, him as a person as well as his footballing abilities, that'll come naturally.
We haven't had the opportunity to speak to him yet, but the feeling is he's quite a quite shy kind of guy, so... You know, obviously, all this kind of praise and everything that we're heaping on him, hopefully doesn't mean he's going to go back into shell. But hopefully, it works the opposite way. In all these games, he's going to get all these his praise. He's going to get, and you know, we're shining a light on him, and we will sort of keep an eye on how he's developing there as well. So hopefully, him as a young man, as a human being, does sort of. Develop as well into his, you know, coming out of shell a little bit more, and we see a bit more character from him as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for a 16-year-old going into men's football, especially, you know, the characters that you've got in the Peter Head dressing room, as it is, you know, being 16, coming into that dressing room would be very daunting. But thankfully, he's gone to the Heritage. They'll have big characters in their dressing room as well. But I think it's the right place for him to learn his trade, his development. And like I said, I'm delighted that his attitude's in the right place as well.
Right. Questions have come in from you guys, so we'll go through them. In fact, most of the questions are pretty much on the same subject. So we'll get them. Graham McLean asks, transfer activity seems to have petered out. Any rumours? A number 9 jersey is still vacant. Any rumours you want to throw about?
No, I think Neymar confirmed his deal with the Saudis this morning, so I can safely rule that one out. But yeah, the number 9 shirt is available, and I wouldn't be surprised to see an attacking player coming in maybe over the next couple of weeks.
And as you said earlier on, Jordan kind of touched on it without touching on it in his post-match, and what we've learned from Ryan and Jordan is they will wait for the right player.
Yeah, they want to rush in. I think they said a couple of weeks ago if the window closed then they'd be happy with the squad. They've done their business nice and early, which I think is brilliant as well. But if there is that, you know, player that becomes available that they're keen on, then I'm sure they'll be pulling out all the stops to get him over the line.
Sean Beedies asks, is there any rumours of Meginson and Scully arriving from Cove? And this is a really interesting one because since Cove have went full-time, there are obviously the players that have been there for, you know, many years, like Meginson and Scully getting his testimonial just a few weeks ago. They've also been there as part-time players. Both, I believe, are out of contract at the end of this season, so would be free to talk to anyone from January. I think getting one or both in now would be... I don't think is an option, particularly, you know, we've got Conor Goldie in who can play across the back or as a defensive midfielder, which is exactly what Conor Scully would do, and also wearing the number 4 jersey is what Conor Scully is doing, or has been doing it at Cove. But I think they would be options for next season.
It's a rumour that's gone around, you know, a few times this season. Mercer, once Cove made the announcement that they were going to the full-time hybrid situation. I'd be surprised if any of them came in this season. I think you're right in terms of it would be with a view to next season when their contract's up. They could maybe start negotiations in January. But like Jordan touched on in his interview, if the right player comes up, you know, it would be something they'd look to explore.
Scott Finlay asks, when are we buying a striker who can score goals? Well, I think we've got one. We've definitely got one. Kieran Shanks, you know, as we said earlier on, had that one not been cleared off the line, he'd be a striker who scores a goal. I think we just have to be a little bit more patient. I think we need to recognise that we don't have a partnership up front. You know, Fitbush moved on. A lot of teams are playing 4-2-3-1. So you know, Shanks is playing. He's not going to be a poacher. He's not going to be a somebody who's going to be tapping in for 3 yards, 4 yards. It's a different game now for these kind of strikers. And I think there's some fans out there who still think that, you know, we can find another Rory McAllister. We can find another Andy Rogers and McAllister partnership. I think those days are gone. We look as though we're a team that other players will be scoring goals. You know, just because O'Keefe isn't an out and out striker doesn't make him. Like, we should be looking for a striker to score goals. If he's scoring the goals and Wardy's scoring goals, Hamish Ritchie's scoring goals, you know, if they get 15 goals themselves each, we should be doing all right. But if we're concerned about Shanks only scoring 10. But does it matter? We could still win the title.
I think you need every player to chip in with goals. I think the best teams over the years have been players or teams that have got numerous goal scorers. We mentioned it last season that, you know, if you come up against a Falkirk, if you nullify their number 9, then you know, you've got a chance of keeping the team quiet. We do not want to be known as that team of keep Shanks quiet and you'll nullify Pierre. You want, as you've rightly said, your Conor Duffy's, your Conor O'Keefe, Robert Ward's, Hamish Ritchie's, chipping in with goals. I certainly think we've got a goal scorer in Kieran Shanks. And I'm still confident that he's going to get his goals. But when he's not scoring, you look at his contribution throughout the team, and I think it's up there with one of the best that we've got. So, yeah, he's maybe not banging them in at the moment, but I'm sure he will.
Yeah, so thanks for all your questions that come in. So we'll try and get through as many as we can. So we've got two games this week. We'll briefly go through the game on Tuesday night against Aberdeen, because as we know, some of you will have already listened to this and the game will be over and we're through to the next round or edit there, and we've been knocked out by Aberdeen B. Sadly, we lost the game. So depending how how the game goes and when you listen to it. But yeah, it's at the For Martin's Ground, SPFL Trust Trophy. Aaron Reid will be ineligible for this game because of this ridiculous rule that they've still got in place, but will be available for whoever goes through, which is just the most baffling rule there is.
It's stupid. I really don't get it. It was something that came back to bite us a couple of, was it 2 years ago? Was it Josh Mulligan? Correct me if I'm wrong, was it Josh Mulligan that got injured for a period of time?
We had Mulligan, we had the Dundee three, we had Mulligan, Danny Strachan, who was the Dundee at the time, and Lyle Cameron were the three lone guys we had on loan for Dundee. They couldn't play for us, but were available to play for Dundee B against Peterhead. And I think, well, yeah, you're right, one of them got injured in the game. And then obviously that was then the sort of the history and the carry on after that between McPake and McAnally.
The game will always be remembered for Brett Long playing the last 5 minutes up front.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're in there, there are subs in the bench because half our team is playing for Dundee. Stupid rule. Still don't like it. I still don't like the B teams, but it's a whole different ball game completely. But I certainly think Tuesday's game is a chance for maybe slight rotation, maybe some players that have been on the fringes the last couple of weeks and maybe haven't had much game time that can maybe come in, depending on how we're looking for injuries from the weekend. But as Jordan said, it's a good opportunity to go through. They want to go through the next round. So yeah, I think they'll be looking to win the game.
And then we've got our old friends Clyde on Saturday. Incredible that this is now the seventh season in a row that we've both been in the same division. You know, very tight between the two sides against where teams, both teams were really poor last season. It was a win apiece last season and two draws. It's going to be another game where it could be tight. But I'm a bit more optimistic about going to Clyde this season than maybe what we've maybe done in the last couple of seasons.
Agreed. I don't think there's many games that will go away from home this season. And, you know, when you say fear, I don't think fear is the right word, but, you know, be nervous of. I think we've got a good squad. And I think we've got to use that to our advantage. I think Clyde will be a stuffy opponent to play against, as notorious as they are. But you've got to take confidence for the last time we played them. Okay, it was a 1-1 draw. They scored, you know, deep into injury time, I think it was last time. A really good effort. But signs were there last season that you can take points off them, and I don't think we've got anything to fear going down there on Saturday.
They've started off really badly. Four defeats in their League Cup group game, a 3-1 loss against Hamilton, 5-2 loss against Cove, and then a 2-1 defeat against Brechin and a 1-0 loss to Livingston. In the league, they've started with a 1-1 against Spartans when they were 1-0 up, and then 2-0 against Bonnyrigg. So they've played two sides that we've identified or what we thought that would be the sort of unknowns. Certainly Spartans, their first game in the league, obviously they would have been up for it, except they've been at home. But for Clyde, for a side that was relegated last season, and you would think with the stature and experience that they've got within this league, to not win either of those games is quite an alarming start for them. I know they've got a new manager, etc., but I would have expected them to at least win one of those games. And bear in mind, the Bonnyrigg one was at home as well.
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful of a wounded animal, so to speak. I think they will they'll be fully aware of what Peterhead's about, having played each other numerous times over the last seven years. And we need to be wary of that, but I think our squad's in a better shape than what we have been the last 2-3 years as well. So, yeah, it's a game that I think we should be confident going into, but not complacent. And obviously that all depends on how we get on Tuesday in terms of injuries and squad selection, but it's certainly a game going to that I wouldn't be worried about too much.
Yeah, and both sides are playing on Tuesday night as well. Clyde have got Stirling University in their cup tie, so you know it's not as though either side's going to have an advantage in terms of, you know, being able to kind of have the whole week to prepare for. But it will be interesting to see how both sides' team lineups have are on Tuesday night. I know coming up for Saturday's game, Danny Sarkin's sort of 50-50 for being available. You know, so you know, our selections, does Armstrong then come in for left back, and then we'll play Caleb Goldie at right back, who seems to perform better at right back than he did at left back on Saturday. Scott Ross played well enough, you know, without sort of dropping him for any apparent reason. So as you said, there is selection issues there. I think maybe just in the forward areas is where we're maybe a little bit thin.
Yeah, probably. I think that's why I go back to George's interview. He said if the right person came along, they would maybe look to get someone in, which I think is a good thing. But I think three games in a week for part-time players as well, you know, that takes its toll. So it'd be interesting to see the team lineups Tuesday to Saturday, whether there's going to be a lot of changes. I know they'll maybe want to make changes in terms of giving players game time. You mentioned him there. Jordan Armstrong hasn't really played much football lately. Played against Spartans in the cup and sort of been dropped to it. I say dropped, you know, fitness reasons, has been out of the squad. So, yeah, it's a time for players that are maybe on the fringes to come in, see how they got on as well. But you've also got to keep one eye on the bread and butter, which is the league campaign on Saturday.
Yeah, like I said, David Wilson, for example, you know, he'd be worthy of a start on Tuesday, surely. McKee, if he's fit enough, you know, give him a start as well. As we said, you know, Danny could be, does Stuart McKenzie come back in as well? So it's going to be interesting to see, as you said, how both sides line up ahead of what could be a big game on Saturday.
But this is a good thing this season. We've got players that, you've got an injury to Danny Strachan, you've got Scott Ross, Caleb Goldie, Davey Wilson, you've got these players to come in, where last season we didn't have that. You were a weaker squad last season for a couple of key players dropped out. This season, a key player got injured or suspended. You've got somebody equally as good willing to come in and take their place. So I think we've got the good balance of the squad. But yeah, I think the bread and butter is the league. You want to do well in that. Going through in the cup would be a welcome bonus, but I certainly wouldn't be losing sleep on it if we got beat tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I'd much rather lose on Tuesday night and then beat Clyde on
Saturday.
Because obviously,
plus it's Clyde.
As I was going to say, any win over Clyde is a welcome one. But at this stage of the season as well, if we can get a win down there and really compound them to such a poor start, you would think that the pressure would be on them already.
Yeah, I think we're league season. You know, you lose the game on Saturday, it's 4 points out of nine. Doesn't look good. You win it, it's 7 out of 9. It's a really good start. So your perspective after three games could be, you know, completely different. Okay, you could throw in, you could end up 5 points out of nine, which would be an okay start. So you've got these three predicaments, you know, after the Clyde game as well. You're hoping for the win. Don't see any reason why we can't. Like I said, but I think we've got a good squad. I think Clyde are slightly weaker than what they were last season, if I'm being honest, and one that we really shouldn't fear going down there.
Right, now joining me on the Blue Tune podcast is someone who, if you were an avid listener last season, will be very familiar with. From the Clyde FC podcast, it is Paul Shanks. Paul, welcome back to the Blue Tune podcast. How are you?
It's like I've never been away, Colin. As we were just saying before we started, it's not great seeing your face, but at the same time, it's good. It's like catching up with an old friend. I was joking with Colin for the Clyde programme, and you've even made it in there, because I mentioned in it that I think I speak to you more than I speak to my own sisters. That's not even a joke. There's some harsh reality in that. But I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Still early season.
That's it. It's a kind of, we as much as we kind of have the rivalry, there is this kind of friendly banter, I guess, between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be tethered together for all eternity now anyway, so we'd be as well forming that type of kind of banter that we have, whether that's tweeting out pictures of pigeons and stands, or you guys having a go at our expenses. It's all football, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll get onto the pigeon in a minute, but I can't recall if it was yourself or if it was JB who said at some point last season, it didn't matter who finished ninth, we were both getting relegated, and it's exactly how it went.
Yeah, I think whoever finished ninth, it was just a case of delaying the inevitable. Nobody, I think, at either club would disagree with the fact that both clubs fully deserve to be relegated. We were both a mile off it. Slightly frustrating from our part when we got to the playoffs. We did well against these five. We were slightly stretched. The Annan game, take the lead in the second leg, but we were so short and devoid of numbers. There was only really one way that match was still finishing. Annan had plenty in reserve. We could use all our subs up in the first half. The way that game went, that just kind of summed up the season in 45. So when they got their goals, it was inevitable kicking in. Then you start looking ahead, you start thinking, right, well, let's just make a go of this league two and see what happens.
When you mentioned it was almost like delaying the inevitable, given that you got the really late draw up at Peterhead in the last game, last season between the two sides. Did you even then, were you still thinking we're just delaying the inevitable, or did you give yourself a little bit of a hope that you might get out of it?
If I was asked, if I was to give us given a completely honest, not official media stance, I would have gave her chances of success as a percentage about 20 to 30 at best. That would have been with us keeping all of our key players fit that we had, but we had players dropping like flies the longer that season went on. Particularly in the both legs of the final, where we're missing guys like Ross Cunningham, who, yeah, he'd been off the boil almost from October onwards for ourselves, unfortunately. He was out, a guy that you were probably sick of the sight of last season, Cammy Salkeld, who'd been brilliant for us. He came in, he was almost just doing Jim Duffy a favour, really, I think, because they knew each other through Morton, I think. And he'd been superb for us. He was travelling up from, I think, Newcastle for training twice a week and for games. But he'd done us a turn. But he was out. And that was probably, that was the final nail in the coffin. I think once we lost him, we'd lost that last bit of drive and energy that we kind of managed to find in midfield, and a bit of a goal threat as well, which we just didn't really have enough after Jordan Allen's transfer to Falkirk.
You mentioned the pigeon earlier on. Was that planted, or was it naturally there when you got there?
Well, I've got nothing to do with this. I have to say on record, I was literally just parking the car and I'd seen something ping up on my phone, the wee kind of display. And I said, oh, what's this? Just one of the guys saying, have you seen our tweet? And I said, what have we done now? What have we done? And I go in and just see this poor pigeon carcass sitting, this team news to follow. And do you know what? It's the most Scottish football thing I think you'll ever see in your life, because it ended up getting traction. I think that tweet was seen by something mad, like 900,000 people. I mean, we could pay an advertising company and not get that level of traction, yeah. But you tweet a dead pigeon in your UK wide news. So it was mad. Thankfully, it was the most entertaining thing, not to bring it up again, but the last minute leveller, somewhat undeserved, yeah. Leveller that day was probably still the highlight, but yeah, it wasn't a great game of football. I think the pigeon got out before I'd take it put through, quite frankly.
Let's put last season to bed then altogether. Let's talk about this season then. You've got a new manager like us. You've got going for an inexperienced manager in Brian McLean. Was that the sort of right path, do you think, for going, or was that maybe perhaps the only option that Clyde had?
Well, that is the question at the moment. It's a whole new setup. So we're going down the more European director of football head coach route, and whilst it's still in its infancy, there's points of, I would say, appropriate frustration within the fan base over particularly the squad and how that's kind of came about, or more the speed that it's currently being assembled. And also, you do have a young and very, very, very enthusiastic coach. And Brian's got big plans. He wants to make a real go of this at ourselves, and who knows where his career goes from there. I understand the frustrations, obviously, within the fan base. You're looking at keeping on Jim, who was a manager when we got relegated. And obviously, Brian was part of the playing squad. At the moment in time, we are very much a work in progress on and off the field. The relationship between Brian and Jim will need to develop, and how that looks, maybe even in a couple of weeks, may change. I would hope, personally, that Brian maybe looks to get an additional kind of coach in, or an assistant head coach. I'm not quite sure how that terminology would work in this type of setup. Mm-hmm. But I think getting that in at least from an optics side, because I know there's a lot of anger and frustration from the Clyde fans in particular around Jim Duffy. That's not me speaking out of turn, that's just fact. It's there. Anyone who clicks on a football forum will see that. So from that point of view, at least from take away that pressure, because I think now there's a risk of Brian becoming guilty by association in that front. Mm. So from my perspective, I would like to see that. Whether or not that will come to be, I don't know. The dynamic needs to work for this to work, though. It's not just a manager to go and do everything, and the head coach is predominantly there to pick the start at 11, to pick the tactics and work with the players provided. It's then on the director of football to make sure that the players are there, that the head coaches get the best opportunity to make something work. And at that moment, at this moment in time, we're not there. We're not there. We are very, very, very much a work in progress.
You said that it's a work in progress, but without being too negative or too harsh, it's a league that's quite unforgiving. So if you get it wrong, you know, that trapdoor becomes much more prevalent.
Absolutely. And even two games into this league campaign, the fear in the fan base is already talking about that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably so. The last time we were in League Two, before obviously we got promoted with ourselves, we were in it for a long time, and we just can't be there for that length of time again. We just can't. We're hoping to progress on the field, and there's a plan in place, and thankfully for the first time in a long, long time, the football club has actually got money behind it. There is a kind of structure in place where there's going to be a yearly investment to help boost the playing side of the proceedings. We still need to get that right, because as you say, it's an unforgiving league. At the moment, I look at a lot of the squads and I think there's a lot that have got a really good core, maybe 1 to 14. They've got a great starting 11. And then 3 or 4 really good players. Will that be enough to carry them over the line? I'm not quite sure. It's an unforgiving league. Injuries are going to happen. And my word, don't we know that? I mean, we are already decimated with injuries before we'd even kick a ball this season. And it's actually something managed to get worse. I don't think any kind of self-destruct button should be pressed until at least 5 or 6 games, and then kind of see how the league's starting to take shape. I know some Clyde fans are saying maybe after the first quarter. I'd be against waiting that length of time, because by that point you're looking at both windows being shut. So the loan window going up to the end of September, the transfer window's got, 3 weeks left, give or take. So there's time to fix what's wrong and what needs improved. But there's lots of pressure on that too. I'm very envious, because I look at Peterhead's squad and I think he's just about ready-made to have a good go at it. Yeah. Kind of similar to what I was saying earlier, I think you've got that really good, solid 11 to 14 players that are going to be very competitive in this league. Much like every other team, will injuries hamper you? Who's to say? I am still cautiously optimistic, but only on the basis that we've still got a good 3 weeks and we've got this core of players still to come back who will improve us. I look at even Stuart Carswell on Saturday, he was almost forced into playing because we had no other midfielders. Mm-hmm. We were literally not scraping the barrel, but we had no one else to play, and he's been out for 4 months, all in, since he probably played the last competitive game for Dumbarton with an ankle injury, and he played the best part of 75, 80 minutes, if my memory serves me correct. He should have been playing half an hour at most. But Liam Scullion, who would have been probably starting, maybe then swapped out for Stuart, pulled up with a hamstring injury. So it's kind of where we're at now, and we've got another five or six out injured who I would argue would walk into the starting 11 and improve it. So yeah, no pressure on Jim. There's a fair bit of shopping to be done, and we probably need it done sooner rather than later.
Hey, you picked up 1 point at your first two games, Spartans and Bonnyrigg, a defeat at home to Bonnyrigg. Is that results that might have been a bit of alarm bells, maybe not as much the Spartans game, because it's, you know, their first game within the league, and obviously they've been up for it, although you did take the lead in that one. But perhaps the Bonnyrigg one was maybe a bit of an eye-opener?
Yeah, it was a strange one, because the first 45 minutes against Spartans, we played really, really well. We were very comfortable. Would I have liked to have seen us create a wee bit more? Yes. But I think we were well worthy of the goal lead at half-time. And it was not playing out the way I was expecting. I was expecting Spartans to come at us from the go, just being their first league game and an historic one for the club. It never really materialised until the second half kicked off. And thereafter, we were... not sure if it was all our own doing, but we just either sat in or we get pinned in and we couldn't get back out. And then when we did have chances on the break, but it was much like last season. Anytime we got into the final third, the what looked maybe a more simple pass just grossly under hit or placed wide, and it just never really stuck. Bonnyrigg, eye-opening, to say the least. Mm. And if there was any doubt that perhaps some of the younger guys are going to take time to get used to League Two, this was it. Now, not to be disrespectful to Bonnyrigg, it was a bonking game of football calling. It was terrible. This purely came down to who just wanted to win a few extra battles in key areas. And that's all they had to do, quite frankly. Other than maybe a handful of half chances in the opening 15 minutes, we'd done nothing. Their keepers had very little to do. And Neil Parry's had a couple of saves in the second half. I know some will probably blame him for the second goal, but he's having... Neil Parry's not a sweeper keeper, but he's having to play sweeper keeper because of the way we kind of disintegrated late in the game. And it was an eye-opener. It really was. We were so far off it. And, we can't even begin to say that Bonnyrigg were lucky. They deserved their win without really working for it too hard. And that's what really hurt the fans at the football time whistle. When I addressed it to Brian, and he was very much in agreement that it was just an unacceptable performance. And whilst there is this walking progress element, you have to find a benchmark for a level of performance, which was the first half against Spartans. But since then, we've not been close to it.
So, what do you expect on Saturday then? Are you expecting a bit more of a performance? The wounded animal kind of response, perhaps?
It has to be. And a lot of my expectations will be probably muted, depending on how the injuries are looking. We face University of Stirling, or Stirling Union, I'm pretty sure which name is. Apologies if you're listening. On Wednesday in the Challenge Cup, and it's just the wrong time for us. I wouldn't normally mind a Challenge Cup game at this time of year, where you could go, we'll chuck a couple of the younger guys, or maybe a French players, and give them some run time. These guys are currently in the starting lineup, and I dread to think if they lost another one of our key players ahead of Saturday, because at current time, I think we'll maybe have 13 fully fit players for Saturday. And that's just me doing a rough calculation. I'm hoping that some of these boys that are maybe a wee bit closer will make Saturday. But at the moment, Martin Rennie came off first half, who is effectively our kind of main guy up front just now, whilst we go shopping. So we're looking at perhaps Big Fraser Malcolm, who I think could be a wee a wee diamond, or a big diamond, I should say. The guy's 6'3", but he's a big boy. But he's came up from the Western Scotland League, so it's still a fair jump. Yeah. So it's going to take him a wee bit of time to get up to speed. So what am I expecting? I expect the unexpected with Clyde. It's one of these daft things where we're backs up against the wall, we might do it, but at the same time, we never get a result against you guys. I know that's stupid saying because we took four for the last six available, but yeah. Any other day, that could have been one from six.
I win a piece and two draws, but really it could have been four wins for either team, really.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing really in it because I think both teams will one more maybe I'm being harsh on yourself for the second game, because I think you just wanted it more the second game. You played with a lot more intensity than we did, and it was only really a wonder goal that got us a big mess. Mm. The game in February was just, there was nothing in it. It was just a wee bit of quality from Martin Rennie in the box to think the crossover, and that was that. But yeah, that game could have finished 0-0, and the last game finished 1-0 you. So, it's fine lines. And at the moment, my concern is, I think your squad are far more streetwise, far more street ready to do the kind of real, dare I say, ugly side of the game to get through it. If you need to manage the game, you can manage it. You've got guys, very experienced players. We've got a lot of youngsters, and it's a lot of responsibility on their heads at this stage of the season. Still, only 3 games in.
Finally, then, would you say the score prediction going to be if you could hazard one?
So, with all that said, I'll go 3-0 Clyde. I'll put this vodka down. I'll take another scrappy 1-0 at the moment. I'm hoping the pen emoji gets cracked open in the next few days, and I'm looking at some superstars getting unveiled in our new red home kit. And then I'll drop you a line with a completely different prediction. But at the moment, it's not what a lot of Clyde fans will want to hear. I don't think it caused a terrible result this Saturday, just given the current squad position. If we could get a win, I'd be dancing all night long, and nobody wants to see that.
Let's hope you're dancing then. Paul, absolute pleasure to speak to you again, as always. Pleasure to have you on. We will obviously catch up again over the course of the season, and hopefully by the end of the season we're not sort of so much doom and gloom as we were last season.
Yeah, very much so. And I know it's good to speak to you, Colin, as I said, and we'll see plenty of each other as the year goes on.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Paul Shanks from the Clyde FC podcast for joining me to preview the Clyde game, and of course to Martin Smith for his insight. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.